So the title of the message today is that God is our defender and our protector. Would you say we need protection? And so usually, and I need to get better at this, I'm going to give you one word every sermon that you need to remember, and that's the word that you need to remember, that God is our defender. So turn in your Bibles to Psalm 91, and we're going to start with that. Look at some verses there where God can be your fortress, refuge, defender, protector, deliverer. The song that we've sung growing up, the song, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." You want God to be your fortress? Your defender, your protector? Would you say that you need it? I think we need it, amen. So I want God to be my refuge. I want a safe place. It says in the end days it's going to be perilous times. So if it's going to be perilous times, it already is perilous times, but I need a safe place. Anybody need a safe place? Need a refuge? Well, let's read Psalm 91. "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." So that's basically saying, let's just have a close relationship with Jesus. When you have a close relationship with Jesus, he's allowed to be your defender. Sometimes in our nation now, we're wondering where God is. Well, guess what? If you've asked God to remove from the government, from the courthouse, from the school, and all these different things, you know, God's not able to be quite your defender if he's not given that opportunity. You know, I'm not sure which proposition is right now in the California legislature, but they're discussing different things with the Bible. Has anybody seen that? Did anybody follow that? And there's a lot of things that aren't correct on that, but you know, because the Bible says things against homosexuality or different sins, they might not think that that's such a good thing. And you know what? If you remove God from everything, then God doesn't have the opportunity to be your defender. He doesn't have the opportunity. If you don't want any part of God, then if you're not dwelling in the secret place, it's hard for him to be your defender and your protector. He wants to be your defender. He wants to be your protector. So I'll say of the Lord, he's my refuge. And so a lot of getting defended is walking in faith, because he says this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So our faith has something to do with God defending me. My relationship with God has something to do with God defending me. Now, we live in a fallen world, so guess what? Things are just going to happen, because the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. So bad things happen even to good people, amen? It says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but I'm looking for the Lord to deliver them out of them all, me out of them all. He said he's in his boat. In our boat. He said he's in our life. He said he'd always bring you to the other side, and that's what I expect, amen? Well, heaven is that other side, and that's a good place to go, and we all want to go there, but I want a part of that heaven down here as well. So he'll deliver me, in verse 3, from the snare of the fowler, the noise and pestilence, cover me with his feathers, under his wings I will trust, he'll be my shield, my buckler, I'll not be afraid of by night. Wouldn't that be nice just to be able to sleep through the night and not wake up with bad stuff? Amen? You know, one year I went down to Mardi Gras. I went down there 2 different years with 1,000 Christians. We witnessed for a whole week during Mardi Gras. Led both different years, 50 people to the Lord every year. So that was pretty cool. But the Lord told me before I go, you need a tune-up on your Volkswagen Rabbit. Well, I didn't listen to the Lord, and we don't listen to the Lord. Sometimes it's not good, amen? That's right. So I was coming back late on Saturday night. It was about 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning, and I was driving through the worst snowstorm I've ever been a part of in my life. I shouldn't have been driving it. That was stupidity. If you want God to be your defender, don't be stupid. Amen? I was stupid, so I still needed God's grace. Amen? So I thought I was going to die that night. I was just, my car broke down. I was stranded. The snow was so bad, there was nobody that could even see you 10 feet in front of you, 10 feet behind. But why did I share that story? Well, it's talking about sleeping at night. For about a year, different times during the night, I'd wake up just with bad stuff because of the memory and the stuff that came on. Well, here it says he can deliver us even in the night, amen? So he can bring you peace. So the terror that flies by night, he can protect you from that. And even if you go through it, he can still protect you. Sean and Heather, in the last year had a robber break into their house, right? Have they had nightmares since then? Difficulty, you know, but you're asking God to be a refuge for you. Sometimes when you put your life on the line, guess what? You're a target. My brother Peter, had somebody break into their house. Well, my brother thought that he had already got to the kids, so he went, and after the guy had a knife, and Peter stabbed him, my brother, in the chest. Okay? But even sometimes when you think, oh, the Lord's not defending me, not protecting me, guess what? He's still right there in the midst of it, even when you got a robber right in your house. And God was protecting my brother in the midst of that. You know, and the devil, he wants you to throw in the towel. He wants you to quit. He wants you to, you know, and Peter is like, well, this is crazy, serving God over here, putting my family at risk. You know, there's Muslims all around us. He's had a Muslim put his gun to his head. He's had a Muslim take a gun and shoot his good friend in the head, you know. But they're still going to serve God. They're going to believe that God's going to be a defender even when life's not perfect. 2 weeks after my brother got stabbed, and he's crazy. He's crazier sometimes than I am. So he'd go into the barrios all the time where they travel on wicked, rotten roads, and it's dangerous on the cliffs, and whatever vehicle he is in, they went off the cliff, and he went through the front of the windshield, and that was 2 weeks after he got stabbed. Holy smokes, why am I sharing all that? I thought God was our refuge, our fortress, and protection, and our deliverer, amen? He's alive. He's alive, amen? And God can still deliver you through the difficulties that you're going to go through life. But I want God to be my refuge, my fortress, my protector, my deliverer, and I want him to be the same in your life, even when you go through things that are really, really hard. 1,000 will fall at the side, 10,000 at my right hand, not come nigh thee. Verse 9, you've made the Lord your refuge, your habitation. No evil will befall me. No plague will come nigh my dwelling. I want the Lord to protect me, amen? I'm going to be 57 here this next month. I want the Lord to be my health, and I realize that if I'm going to do what I'm doing now for the next 20 years, I'm going to have to do things to even become healthier. All right, I know this guy for 32 years never taken a sick day. Well, I want that to happen for the next 20 years, amen? Not one sick day, whatever. I want the Lord to be my refuge, my fortress, my protector, and my deliverer. And I want to tap into everything that he has for me. Amen? And there's different things that I can do. I already know because I had the effects of going to that youth convention for 2 weeks after. So I'm going to have to change things if I'm going to be able to do what I want to do. And it's the same thing for you. If you want the Lord to be your refuge, fortress, protector, and deliverer, there's different things that you're going to have to do as well. So he's my refuge, no evil will befall me, he'll give his angels charge over you, he'll keep you in all your ways, he will bear you up. Because you set your love upon him, verse 14, God said, I'll deliver him, I'll set him on high, because he's known my name. I want to know the Lord as what is it? Yahweh Nisi, my banner, my victory, my protector, amen? You'll call upon me, and God said, I'll answer him, I'll be with him in trouble. And you got enough trouble in your life, don't you? If you don't, just sign up to serve God, and guess what? Welcome to trouble. But he will deliver you, and he will honor you with long life. He'll satisfy you, and God will show you his salvation. He'll show you his deliverance. He'll show you his protection. Go ahead and turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6, and it'll be a while before we get there. But thank you, Lord. You guys, I'm not used to preaching in the beginning, but it's actually a very good idea. So I need you to be in prayer, and I need you to actually say amen once in a while because we haven't had worship yet to fire me up. Amen? All right? All right. So what do you want God to protect you? What do you want him to defend? How about your marriage? Would that be a good idea? Would you like, are you going to see my son tonight in Minneapolis? That's pretty cool. Would you like the Lord to defend your kids? All right, how about defending them from materialism, secular humanism, idolatry, communism? Most of the college kids nowadays think socialism and communism and fascism is a great idea. You'd want the Lord to protect them from that kind of ignorance. Amen? But guess what? That they're being taught that, so you better teach them opposite with the Word of God so that the Word of God can be like salvation for their minds so that they don't give in to those ideas that communism that has killed 100 million people of its own people in the last 100 years is a good idea. You'd like God to defend our country, amen? You'd like to keep the freedom that we have. But we need people to defend it. We need the American soldier to defend us, but we also need you to stand up with the Word of God and to teach your kids the Word of God so that they're defended from all the fiery darts of the enemy. Because the devil's going to try to steal your faith, and he's going to try to steal your kids' faith. What else do you want God to defend? Okay, I want him to defend this church. Okay, I don't want anybody to ever leave Crossroads Family Church ever again because we did something wrong. I would like him to defend us. So I want you to help me to be a really, really good leader and a pastor so he can defend our church, that we would be people of integrity, people of character, that we'd handle people in the right way. And that's not easy because we're all different. We all got opinions, amen? But I would like God to be the defender of this church. And guess what? He will. He'll defend those. He'll actually be an enemy to your enemies, and he'll oppose those that oppose you. Isn't that a good place to be, in the secret place of God? Knowing that God has your back, and if God before me, nobody can be against me? That greater is he that is in me than he's in the world. He will be your defender. Amen? Sometimes you got to do what you got to do, and you need God to defend you. And you know how I preach my sermons. I go back and forth. But the day that we went over to Jenny's parents' house, to take, what, 7 to 10 trees off the roof? Okay, that would be a good day to need the Lord as your defender, amen? Okay, especially when you're holding a ladder for a crazy 74-year-old man that thinks it's okay to shake the ladder back and forth when he's this far from the top of the roof. You know who I'm talking about, Steve, don't you? I'm like, you know, who was there holding the ladder with me? And here's this guy, you know, on top of the roof with a ladder, 6 inches from the side, and he's shimmying it with his feet. I'm like, Lord, would you please be our refuge and fortress and protect and deliver right now? Because this guy's about ready to go about 30 feet for the plunge. Well, he's used to climbing 800 feet, so he's used to that. He's used to having the Lord be his refuge, amen? You know, two different times our town got hit. Once with a tornado, took half the town down. Another time a windstorm actually took more trees than that down. I cut trees for 3 months both times, basically most of the day. I didn't grow up in the woods. I love chainsaw and we cut wood, but what I did to be smart there is I always kept somebody that was way, way smarter than me next to me to make sure that I didn't cut any tree that was going to kill me, amen? But you want, whatever you're doing in life, you need God to be your refuge and fortress and protector and deliverer to protect you from all of the attacks of the enemy. So your marriage, your kids, your church, your mind, how about your health, property, finances? God wants to be the defender in every single area of your life. And you do things to tap into him being that defender. All right, let me read a bunch of verses. Proverbs 18, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. So we talked about some of the things that we want God to defend. We want to turn to him for our protection. Matthew 7 says there's two houses. One's on the rock, one's on the sand, one's going to stand, one's going to fall. What was the common denominator of both houses? Storm came to both. Storm's going to come to you. If you didn't realize it, the storm's already here. If you haven't encountered any storms this year, welcome to next year. You're going to have storms. It's just a part of life. But are you going to survive this storm? Yes, we are. We're going to survive every storm because if God before me, nobody can successfully be against me. Amen? Nothing's going to separate me from the love of God. Now, the principalities, powers, wicked spirits, whatever it is, I'm going to always be in the secret place, and God is with me. And if God is with me and God is for me, I'm okay. No matter what, I'm going to the other side. Amen? No matter what, I'm going to heaven because I got Jesus in here. Amen? And God is for me. So nothing can successfully stand against it. Ephesians 6, let's read through a bunch of verses out of that one. You guys with me here this morning? All right. I just pretend you're a southern church and you just like to respond when the pastor says something, amen? There you go. Thank you, Joe. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. He's got power on your behalf. Put on the full armor of God. So there's something that you have to do. Put on the armor of God that you might stand against the devil's schemes. He is out to steal, kill, and destroy. So you better know who your enemy is. We'll talk a little bit about it. He says, be sober. That means to have a saved mind. You want to get saved and defended from the enemy? Get the word of God in here. You know, make it a goal to memorize basically the whole New Testament. You know what? God will have an opportunity to be your defender if you believe the word of God because faith is a part of that. Amen? He'll be your defender. So our struggle is not against flesh and blood. We used to think it's people. It's not people. People are not your problem. All right? God wants you to defend you against the spirits that are behind those things, against the authorities, powers of darkness. Verse 13, what do you got to do? You got to put on the full armor of God. You ever watch those movies? Deb and I like to watch war movies. You know, in the Old Testament, whatever, when they had those shields and you'd see all those arrows that were just up against those, God wants to be your protector, amen? You know, he wants to be your protector. You guys, type in your computer all the time and you learn some great stories. Type in your computer, George Washington. I think he was about 23 years old. I think that's the right age. He was in a battle. He was in a war. And what do you think happened to him? They said target all the officers. So they were targeting George Washington. I don't know how many horses got shot out underneath him, but when the battle was done and they got massacred and slaughtered that day, but he took his coat off and he had 4 bullet holes in it. Then 15 years later, whatever, they got together with the chief and the chief said, we shot you numerous times. Our whole entire people, that's all we did is targeted you. And he got shot numerous times, took his coat off after the battle, and guess what? Not one of them touched him. He had bullet holes in his coat. Come on, and I'm not making these stories up. These pass the test. They're true stories. God wants to be your refuge, fortress, and protector and deliverer. Anybody watch the movie Hacksaw Ridge? Okay, and he didn't carry arms, didn't he? Didn't believe in taking up a gun, right? Come on, you guys. And that one night, I think he rescued 75 people. Is that right? So he was over there believing, you know, he had trouble with different parts of killing in war. I think he was Seventh-day Adventist, whatever, in their religious practice. He had trouble with that. But in the midst of that, he's reading his Bible. He's praying. He's saying, God, I want to help my people. I want to help all these soldiers be delivered. And in one night, I think it was, he helped get 75 people down. I'll guarantee you he had to look to the Lord for strength, because you don't go by the rope to the top, to the bottom, carry those people down unless the Lord is not only your defender and protector, but he's also the strength of your life. He wants to be your refuge. Okay, type in your computer. There's so many amazing stories. When Hollywood does a story, they don't even do them close to what God actually did. But type in Sergeant York, World War I. He liked to hunt. He knew how to hunt. He was from Tennessee. He was a sharpshooter. And single-handedly, Sergeant York brought in 132 Germans, and they surrendered to one man with a gun. Okay, type it in your... Now, I'm not making these stories up, but when they do a movie on Sergeant York, because Hollywood, whatever, so liberal, they don't give you the full bore, the full truth. But he was supernaturally protected and delivered in World War I, and God was right on the side of him. And he was looking to the Lord, and you know what? You might not be in war right now. Well, actually, you are in war right now, because the devil hates you. He's out to steal, kill, and destroy, and he's coming against you with everything he got, and God wants to protect you and defend you, amen? Right. If you let me, I could probably tell stories till 6 o'clock at night of different times where the Lord just came in my behalf and defended me. One of the times I was in Bible school, we'd drive 20 hours straight through, so that isn't very smart. I could tell you stories about what happened with that, but we won't do that one today. But one of the nights, we stopped in Wichita, staying, you know, when you're in college, you don't have money. You stay at hotels that don't have money, and we turned on the news, and the hotel we were staying at was getting busted for a prostitution ring just on the other side. But anyway, God's good, amen? Amen. We were on the good side. Not really, because somebody was breaking into our car at about 3 o'clock in the morning. But guess what happened? You know what? The Lord came down, and he rang the doorbell on our hotel room. You know those outside doors, and all hotel rooms have a doorbell on them, right? You've never stayed at one that had a doorbell. Well, we had a doorbell on ours that night, and the doorbell rang. And it kept ringing. We woke up and looked out, and somebody was trying to break into our car. I'm like, holy smokes, God's good, amen? Amen. No doorbell, but the doorbell was ringing. Amen. Story after story, and guess what? When you get to heaven and God shows you a video of your life, you're going to see about 100 things that you never even imagined, that angels were given charge over you to defend you and protect you, amen? And I want God to be my defender. I want him to be your defender. Everything imaginable that you want to be defended, God will do that for you. He wants to be your defender. So stand firm, your belt with truth, your feet filled with the readiness to preach the gospel, take the shield of faith. Once again, those movies when they got the shields up and all the arrows are hitting the shields, that's pretty cool when they're protected, isn't it? Sometimes the flaming arrows, whatever, their shields when they're all be done would just be full of arrows and God would be protecting them. So take the helmet of salvation. That's a good way to get saved. Have the sword of the Spirit. So have a good defense. The sword of the Spirit is your offense. You need both, amen? So tonight when the Packers play the Vikings, you know, Aaron Rodgers is like the best quarterback in all football. And everybody said? Amen. That could have been a little bit louder. But anyway, you got a good offense, but sometimes the problem with that team right there this year is they're not always real good on defense. You need a defender, right? If you let the other team score 40 points, there's a chance you might not win. I'm sorry. Where's Ray? We'll do a special prayer for the Packers tonight, man. We're at my son's house with about 16-inch screen, and I'll guarantee you he'll be happy if they win. Lord, help him to behave himself tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, so you covered some areas that we want God to defend. What will the devil do? I think I quoted a couple of verses on that. What are some other verses? How about Luke 10:19? I give you authority and power to tread upon what? Serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Okay? I could give you just a ton of verses on what the devil, but the devil hates you, he's out to destroy you, and you need God to be your refuge and defender. So let's look at how do you get God to protect you? Well, you get hooked up with God, get born again, and he'll protect you and defend you, amen? But there's also some things you do. Let me give you about six things right here, and I'll just tell stories as we go along through this. But Deuteronomy 28 talks about God being our defender. in verse 1 through 14 said, if you diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, if you do that what's right in his sight, if you give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes, commandments, do these things, if you obey me, then what did God say? He'll do supernatural things for you. He'll protect you, amen? So there is a blessing in obedience. Amen? There's a blessing in worship. 2 Chronicles 20, Jehoshaphat was surrounded by all kinds of armies. All the ites, the Moabites, Ammonites, whatever it all was. Did I get it right? So they were outnumbered. They were going to be crushed. They were going to be destroyed. They were going to be killed. And God gives Jehoshaphat a battle plan. He said, the praisers, send the worship team out in battle first. Forget the machine guns and the tanks. Send the worship team out. Amen? Amen. Well, that doesn't sound like that good a plan. They don't have guns. Well, it's actually a pretty good plan because when they were worshiping God, God released the angels of God and they all fought among themselves and all killed themselves. Amen? That's a pretty good battle plan. Send forth the worshipers. Psalm 149 said, let the high praises of God be in your mouth and a two-edged sword in your hand to execute vengeance upon the nations, to bind their kings with chains, to defeat the enemy. Let the high praises of God and worship be in your mouth and you'll release the power and the angels of God to work on your behalf. That's a battle plan. Amen? He'll call us the walls of Jericho actually to be pushed down into the ground so you can walk right in and take from the enemy. That's how powerful worship and praise is. How else do you get God to be your defender? You need to know your authority as a believer. All right, you can kind of tell the way I talk. I don't like milk toast, soft toast, mamby-pamby Christians, amen? I'm not politically correct. If you're wanting a guy to be politically correct and tickle your ears and say what you want to hear, I'm sorry, you got the wrong guy. Every single week, I'm going to step on your toes. Every single week, my job is to make you feel uncomfortable. Okay, did you know that? And I want you to know your authority as a believer. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, amen? Cast out devils. These things did not end with apostles. You're supposed to be doing whatever Jesus did and even greater works, and you're going to need God to defend you. My dad was probably in over his head, but shortly after he got born again and baptized in the Holy Spirit, he got involved in a deliverance ministry. Anybody been in where there where you're casting out devils? You know, the religious world pretends that they don't exist. They're not all in North Africa. Guess what? They're in Watoma and Washer and all around, amen? And if you get involved with people once in a while, you're going to actually have to do deliverance. And different times, dad would do deliverance. And different times, and I probably shouldn't have brought a 13-year-old kid with him, but I was there before. You know, I got to see firsthand what was going on. I'm like, holy moly. Mom said, that's enough of that for a while. We got five kids. All right? But a couple different times, the person that he was praying for deliverance tried to kill my dad. Dad tells the story with the guy lunging at him, wanting to kill him. And dad just said, in the name of Jesus, you can't touch me. I wish I would have been there for that one. Amen? Another time, that I think that might have been the same guy that took the knife, whatever, but whatever. You know, believing that if I'm doing the will of God and sometimes just bad things happen. If dad would have died, whatever, and gone to heaven, he would have gone to heaven. But at the same time, he said, in the name of Jesus, you can't touch me. You need to use your authority as a believer. He's given you the name of Jesus, which is above every single name. So whatever comes against you, you got the name of Jesus to overcome the devil. Submit yourself to God. He said, if you submit yourself to God, submit it to the will of God, he'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. Actually, he said he'll do that if you tithe. He'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. He said in James 4:7, if you submit yourself to God, resist the devil. You don't even have to resist the devil when you're in obedience to God. Well, it's good to do it, but you know what? God will take care of that if you're obedient to him. All right, so use your authority. I'm going to resist the devil. He hates me. Every pastor's got a target on him, if you didn't know that, amen? Now, you don't be the devil's advocate. Would you do me a favor? And don't you be a part of that? Come on, you guys. All right? So when you're done with Sunday and you go home for lunch, don't have the pastor for lunch, amen? You know, boy, you could tell stories every Sunday after you listen to him, amen? Amen. All right? But you know what? We got a target on us. Let's believe God that he's going to be our defender. What else? Faith helps you overcome the enemy. And prayer. We didn't read it, but the last verse in Ephesians 6:18 with all kinds of prayer. When you pray, God is released as your defender. Turn to your Bibles. Oh, God is good, isn't he? Exodus chapter 14. One point I want you to remember. God wants to be your defender. What do we want him to protect? Your marriage, your kids, your church, your finances, your health, your future, your job, every single thing. Point number two, what's the devil about? He's out to steal, kill, and destroy. He's out to destroy you. Point number three, how do you get God to protect you? You walk in obedience, you walk in worship, you walk in authority, you walk in faith, and you walk in prayer. Amen? Exodus chapter 14. The angel of the Lord had been traveling in front of Israel's army. So in the Old Testament, God what? Had the fire by day, what is it? No, cloud by day, fire by night. He went before him. He was also the rear guard. So here, the death angel at one time came, killed all of the firstborn children, right? How did the other ones get protected? How do we overcome? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, because we love not our lives even unto death. So apply the blood every single day to your mind, because the devil's going to attack your mind every day of your life. Apply the blood of the door of Jesus to your home. Every time you get in the car, especially if you go with me, right? Elward really wants to pray when he gets in the car with me, all right? You've driven with me too. And Brad was saying the other day, what are you doing on the wrong side of the road? I said, we paid taxes on both sides, didn't we? I'm sorry. I have an ability to keep everybody in prayer that travels with me. We made it safely to Nina and Omri, whatever we went yesterday. God can be our refuge and our fortress, our protector and deliverer. So Exodus chapter 14. The angel of the Lord had a pillar of cloud in front of them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel, and you need God to come between you and the devil who's out to kill you and your family and everything about you. The cloud brought about darkness to one side, light to the other side, and went near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. That night the Lord drove back the sea back. It parted. They walked through on dry ground. They got to the other side with a wall of water. Then the Egyptians pursued them. The devil's going to pursue you. He's going to pursue every single thing about you because he hates you. He's out to destroy you. But you got the Lord on your side. So all Pharaoh's horses, chariots, horsemen, verse 23, they walked into the sea. Last watch, is that 3 o'clock in the morning? I think it is. Of the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud. The Egyptian threw it into confusion. He jammed the wheels of the chariots so that they had difficulty driving. The Egyptian said, let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting. Guess what? The Lord is fighting for you. The Lord is a warrior, a mighty God in battle. The Lord is a warrior, and he's defending you. Just like he defended Israel, he wants to defend every aspect of your life and your kids as well. So he stretched out his hand over the sea in daybreak. The Egyptians were fleeing it. They were swept into the sea. They all died. They all drowned. And for those that said the water was only 2 feet deep, guess what? God just did a miracle, and he made all of them drowned in 2 feet of water. Amen. Have you ever heard that story? They said, well, where they crossed, it was only like 2 feet deep of water. I said, well, that's a bigger miracle. God can get a whole army to drown in 2 feet of water. It wasn't 2 feet, but you know, there's stupidity sometimes, amen? But not one of them survived. So our enemies, God's going to be an enemy to your enemies. He's going to oppose those that oppose you. He is on your side and he is with you. And he's going to deliver you and he's going to bring you to the other side. That day, the Lord saved Israel from all the hands of the Egyptians. Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord, put their trust in him and in Moses, his servants. God is good. He wants to deliver. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I have no idea what time I started. This is different. I look at the clock and it's a different time. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You think we should go to page 2? Amen. So God wants to deliver us. George Washington, 4 bullet holes. Just type that into your computer. You can read the story. It's a true story. Type into your computer, Sergeant York, single-handedly, a Christian man, took captive 132 German prisoners of war. Okay? Type into your computer. You might take longer to get these things to come up, but the 1967 and 1973, Israel went to war. And there were so many miraculous stories, and guess what? I got to go to Israel, I don't know what it was, 4 or 5 years ago, and I got to hear these stories. And this one of our tour guides was not a believer. And he still told us the stories of supernatural deliverance that God did for him. Okay? One of the stories that happened was they were outnumbered so many tanks, they were just going to get totally demolished, totally destroyed, totally overcome. They were going to get defeated. And guess what God came down and did? He's caused them to see tanks beyond number. Those tanks were not there. Okay? They surrendered, they whatever, but God showed up and caused them to see all of these tanks, and there were so many tanks that they couldn't even count. So they said, it would be a fool to go into battle against that, and they all surrendered. I'm not making these stories up, all right? God did that in 1967. He did it in 1973. The guy that was telling us the stories of how they got all these planes, and it was... And I never get my stories perfect, but it was like a shipment of planes from another country that were supposed to be destined for another place, and they needed them, and guess what? They got them. God has a way of defending his people. And if we're still on this earth when it happens, I'm not sure the whole end day scenario, but guess what? In Armageddon, when the army, whatever, all those battles in the Indies with Israel, the armies of the north come, whether it's China, Russia, whoever it all is, all of these people are going to have greater tanks, greater, you know, and Israel has a good army. But you're not going to be able to take on China, Russia, and Iran, or whoever all it is that's going to come down from the north. But guess what? Once again, God's going to be their defender. He's going to protect Israel. He's going to protect the Jews. He wants to protect Christianity. He wants to protect America. Amen? And we got to release him as our defender. Even though Israel doesn't believe really in God, God's going to come down, and he's going to show them that he's God. They're his people. He loves them. And you know what? It says the whole earth is going to see this thing. How's that going to happen? It's called satellite. The Bible is really little. It says the whole world is going to see what God's going to do to the armies of the north when they come down to defeat that little Israel. Well, if we're not down here and we're up in heaven, I think God's going to have a pretty big video screen up there for us to see it too, amen? He has been Israel's defender for all, ever since they started. That little country. And every country wants to destroy them. There's a bunch of, we got politicians now in America that want to kill the Jews. Can you imagine this? I'm sorry, I can't ever go one Sunday with behaving myself, can I? We should not be against the Jews, because God said, I'll bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. If you want God to be a defender, you better pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You better pray for Israel, and you better stand behind Israel, because there's a covenant that God made with Israel. I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. Amen? And I want God to be our defender for our country, so thank God we got a president. He's not perfect, but he stands behind Israel. He's been the best president that we've had that has stood behind. Thank God they moved the capital of Jerusalem where the Bible says I think it's supposed to be. Amen? God wants to be our defender. Every single area of your life. It's deer hunting time. Deb, just close your ears right now for a couple minutes. All right? All right, a couple different times. Before I go hunting, before I drive, before I pretty much do anything, I need God to be my defender. One time, I'm taking down a deer stand, and once again, I was stupid. Did something with the deer stand I shouldn't have done, and the deer stand just collapsed. I was very thankful. I don't go in there, Deb, without my really good lineman's belt. It's not as good as I saw on you the other day, Steve, but it's a good one. All right? Thank God for the lineman's belt, because it would have been really, really bad, because I was high up there. Not as high as Steve goes, but I was still high. All right? But that belt protected me. God wants to be your safety belt, amen? No matter what you're doing, if hunting, you know, where I'm hunting, you know, they're 150 yards exactly one way and about 200 yards the other way, and they both of those places shot, and you want God to be your protector, amen? You don't want to get hit with a bullet, amen? Anything else I need to share? We want God to be our defender. We want him to be our fortress. And so let me just go through really quickly some of the things that you can do to help God be your defender. Walk in obedience to God. If you submit yourself to God, God said, I'll resist the devil, and he will flee. Also, be a worshiper. Every time we worship, don't just think we're trying to fill the service up here. We're looking for you to have an encounter with the living God where you can actually dwell and have a close relationship with him, dwell in the secret place of the Most High, under the shadow of the Almighty, so he can be your refuge, fortress, protector, and deliverer. Worship is a part of that. Walk in your authority. Don't be weak. God doesn't want weak Christians. If we got weak Christians, the devil's going to overtake all of America if we just sit back and do nothing. He wants you to walk in the authority that I've given you. He says, whatever you bind is bound. Whatever you loose is loose. I've given you the name of Jesus. Use that authority and release God to be your defender. Also be a person of faith. Take up the shield of faith where you're able to extinguish all the fiery darts of the enemy. Put up the shield of faith. Amen? I mean, I really did it for Luke when he was in college, because I know at college you're being taught some things that don't line up with the Bible. I wanted God to be the defender, and I was praying God protect him from the darts and the lies of the enemy. So be a person of faith, be a person of prayer. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you want to be our defender today. Father, we're going to believe that you're going to release the power of God even in our midst as we worship today. God, you are so good. Lord, we ask that you be our defender for our marriages, our kids, our finances, our health, our church, our schools, our town, every single area of our life, our mind. We need our minds to be saved and delivered and protected, and we need you, Lord. Father, help us to tap into those six things that we learned today of how we can release and cause and help God to be our defender.